Good morning, Mad Radio. We are into the 6 o'clock hour on a Thursday. He is Seth Payne. I'm Mike Meltzer. And we will have a new member of the program joining us Tuesday. If you guys have not seen in the Chronicle or on social media, you can check it out. Paul Gallant will be joining this show, the one and only, coming up at 6 a.m. on Tuesday.
Landry Locker is going to be moving to the midday where he, John Lopez, and Fred Davis will comprise a three-man show. Landry's going to be producer slash co-host on that show, so he'll take on more of a vocal role, I suppose, than he did here. Yeah, I felt like he was pretty vocal.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like Landry wasn't like he needed to talk more? If only Landry could have that voice or something.
If I say no, that implies that I wanted him to talk less, which I'm totally fine that he'd be talking whatever amount they feel like talking.
We'll have Paul on, so that'll be a lot of fun because yes. I think you and Paul have a good relationship because you guys have known each other for so long, and I think in a lot of ways I think Paul respects you as his elder.
And does he? That's good.
Yeah, okay. I think he'll defer to you, whereas maybe sometimes Landry and I would try to like strong arm you into things. I think Paul will actually show you a lot more deference and respect in a very good way. I'm not saying that in like one bit sarcastic way or anything at all.
I'm very curious to see what the dynamic is going to be between you and Paul. I'm not in a bad way. I'm very intrigued to see how that's going to run.
I'm a little nervous. You know, sometimes I used to make Landry angry because he felt like I was dismissing his opinions for whatever reason, like that I wasn't taking him seriously. I wonder if Paul might end up feeling that same way sometimes. I have a tendency when I get disgusted in an opinion to probably be a little bit disrespectful of it. There's also a lot of people. There are like three people out there are waging a campaign against me. There's three people. They email the boss. They Facebook live this, or they Facebook the station. All these. There's three specific people.
Yes.
Who despise how much I interrupt people. And let me explain a little bit about that. This is where that comes from. I used to listen to Howard Stern a lot when I was growing up. And one of the things that bothered me about Howard Stern was that he would always interrupt people. Like, he has guests on, and he might, in the first 2 minutes of an interview, he might interrupt the guest like 10 times.
Yeah.
But over time, I realized, and I'm not trying to be Howard Stern, I'm just a different personality and everything. That's not me. But his whole MO in doing that is that he's not going to allow anybody the chance to relax and be uninteresting. And that if something's boring him, or if he doesn't think something is interesting or edgy enough, he cuts it off. Because this is the same. This is what happens when people call in. People get upset at me cutting off callers. Do you guys understand how many people turn away from a station like 37 seconds into a phone call
or less.
The guy starts repeating himself or something like that? So you cut him off. You don't allow it. So I don't think I have to worry about that with Paul. Paul has a tendency to always have a lot of energy and always be saying something interesting. If anything, I see myself kind of sitting back almost like a landlord, like a property owner, like a baron in England.
A baron.
I'm
going to
sit back and collect my rents and do my live reads. Like Dietza, 10 minutes from now, I'm going to move a lot of sausage. I'm going to sell a whole bunch of Dietza and Watson sausage.
I like it.
That's what I'm good at. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let you and Paul do your thing. And then I'll largely just jump in here and there. There'll be less interrupting from me. And this doesn't come from any instructions from management or anything. Although, look, we know. Look, I had various people in management yesterday reached out to me to explain to me, like, Seth, this isn't an indictment of your own skills or talents or anything.
Yes.
But I also sat in the same meeting and listened to our boss be like, well, you know what? We need more energy. We need more liveliness. We need more personality. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Apparently I'm not getting it done. So I'll sit back.
You're going real behind the curtain
me,
here.
Me of little personality.
Yes.
Me of so little energy and verve. Of so little passion, apparently, I'll stop trying to have energy. Okay, I'm just gonna sit back and let the real folks who have the energy get after it. I got a call from Gavin Spittle. Gavin knew. Gavin's like, hey Seth, you okay with all this? I'm like, well, I'm somewhat torn. I like Paul a lot, and I've often mentioned that I think it would be good to have Paul on this show. But when they come and deliver me the news as, Seth, you're not energetic enough. Seth, you don't have a personality of any sort, apparently.
I don't think anybody believes that.
Well, why did he say it? You sat there in the meeting.
He did not.
You sat there. Yes, he did. The show needs something. The show needs some, the show needs more personality. The show needs fun stuff. And the show needs, you know what we need is more maracas and maybe tambourines and stuff like that.
Oh, Paul does a lot of those kind of things.
Is true. No, I'm excited about Paul, like, in some of the produced things that he does also.
I feel like we can also delve way more into Paul's dating life than we can delve into my dating
life. Paul will dish out the details.
He'll give out the trade secrets. Paul will let us know exactly what's going on.
No, I got very reflective yesterday after my boss told me that I didn't have enough personality. And I was getting home, and I went home, and I thought about it. He did. He basically did, right?
Am I
reading that wrong? Am I too sensitive to it?
I really found
myself torn. Our show was awful yesterday because I was distracted the whole time. I sat there
thinking. You were distracted.
I myself have mentioned before, I think to Ryan, like, that I'd like to have Paul on the show. And yet the way the news was delivered, to the point where I needed Gavin Spittle to call me, apparently, because I'm guessing after our meeting yesterday, Brian was all freaked out and thought, like, oh, Seth didn't take this away. I thought he would. I was kind of conflicted all day yesterday.
No, so, I think yeah, you offered good, honest thoughts. And people, a lot of times in corporate America, I don't know if this is considered corporate America or not, don't really deliver honest thoughts in any sort of situation.
That's
so
true.
I, as someone who's known you for, what, like 5+ years?
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
So I sat back and I thought, like, maybe Mike and I should just do a podcast. Maybe, like, back in the midday when we were just kind of hanging out and we'd have conversations and everything.
Yes.
Like, it was like before, you know, you move to the morning, I was like, no, you got to be spanking lesbians' asses like Howard Stern. Yeah. You got to have, let's have a contest. Can somebody wax their back hair, please? Can we do that? Can we be edgy? Like, can we be edgy and rip off things that people have been doing for 40 years in radio? So that's all right. But Paul is actually very original with the stuff he brings to the table. So I'm excited about that.
And we're gonna play some of Paul's best hits over the course of the morning, as long as I can find them.
Edward Gilliard's sitting in with us as our producer, which is fitting because he's been Paul's producer over the last few weeks.
Now, one interesting wrinkle is the Paul Gallant that will be in here on Tuesday morning may look a little bit different than the Paul Gallant that you see right now.
Is he shaving his head? Why is he doing this?
Paul Gallant will be shaving his head.
Why?
If and only if the Houston Rockets win the Western Conference Finals. So
I might have to put
the kibosh
veto
on
this.
As the show?
As the elder, as the estate owner, as the baron, as the baron of Mad Radio, I'm not so sure I approve of this because Paul's also supposed to bring a better-looking, younger dude to the show. He gives us a certain glitz, a certain glamour, a certain appeal.
If the Rockets
an Irish-American, a minority.
That's true.
Yeah.
So if the Rockets
get an extra
win
voice in here.
Two of the next three games, two of those games are home games, obviously. We'll know Tuesday whether they are still alive and in the NBA Finals or dead. We will know if Paul Gallant is going to come in here with a shaved head Tuesday morning.
Did
at
he
6.
Make a proclamation or did he have a bet?
He just made a bet because
who's the bet with? Maybe I can figure something out.
The audience. The bet is with the audience because the whole concept and kind of like on our show like 2 weeks ago last Monday was sort of feeling like, okay, we want to see how the Rockets are playing this series, but we didn't think they'd actually win the series, and so you want to create good stakes.
Right.
On, okay, if they win and they disprove us, what's at stake for us?
Who would know that the mighty Andre Iguodala might go down and this Leviathan, this incredibly powerful, never to be contended with team, couldn't withstand the loss of Andre Iguodala. I'll say two more things about this, about the new show. I am genuinely very excited. I've got my grouses with management and Andre and Ryan and Gavin Spittle and Sarah Fraser and everybody else. Like the whole deal, the whole shebang. I don't know. There's a little bit of just like, hey, by the way, here's all this. See you later. I don't know. There's something it's not sitting right with
me
somehow.
Right with
and I feel bad. I texted Paul yesterday. And I said, Paul, listen, there's some things that aren't sitting right with me and has nothing to do with you.
With you.
I want Paul on this show. But it's the manner with which it happened. It's the way in which the message was delivered. It was all these things. And now I got to have an uncomfortable conversation with Ryan at 10:01 a.m. today.
No, I'm sure.
And I feel bad for Paul because I want Paul to feel welcome because we genuinely do want him on here. It might just also... It might speed up my departure from radio at some point over the next, not immediately, but within 2 or 3 years.
All right, here's the deal. Can I give you real talk?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people in this business. And when I say a lot of people, not like I know so many people, but like I went to school, I majored in broadcasting. So I know people who are really talented who work for this company in Chicago and Pittsburgh. Obviously, I've known Nick for a really long time. He's at FS1 right now. And I'll listen to a lot of their shows, and I feel like they're doing the same kind of stuff that we are doing. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely crush it in the respective cities. Now, Houston's a little bit different. And one thing that I think has honestly hurt us over the course of the last few months is the fact that we have suffered a confluence of, like, hey, the Astros and Rockets have been really good. We don't have them as our flagship rights. People know that, obviously. And the Texans have had this really weird series of events where, and we talked about this as a pure sports topic in December. That, to me, that was the worst time in Texans history because of the fact that those games were so uninteresting and had nothing on the line. And obviously, you were getting Deshaun Watson back, and people are excited for that coming up in a few months. But, like, the team played 9 meaningless games. They didn't get a pick out of it. They didn't fire their head coach, which I like Bill O'Brien a lot. I think that was the right decision from a football standpoint, but it doesn't help radio in the city.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just factual, because if you have a coaching search, people get interested. Now, I like Bill, and I'm glad they kept him. So to continue with that, then you have an offseason where there's no number one pick, there's no number two pick, and the team signed a couple of free agents who were notable in March, but it's not like there was a huge buzz going into that. And so those are the kind of factors that I think that hurt us.
Right. I get all that. I understand all that. I suppose, though, I think when you kind of do the things the way our station does it, what was the term Gavin used yesterday? A blend of sports and personality.
Yes.
You should be able to withstand more of that than you do.
Trust me, I'm with you.
I think at times there's a sense of, like, well, hey, the Texans will bail us out. Well, maybe the Texans just wait for the Texans.
And we don't want to feel that way.
Right, no, exactly. Which I know, and I think Paul helps that a lot.
Agreed.
Paul turns that into much, because Paul's a very good and big personality.
Yes.
There's also this, though, too. I think, for whatever reason, almost just the biological rhythms of you and me, we turned into a much more negative and cynical show when we moved to the morning, which is supposed to be the opposite of what we're doing.
Do you guys feel we are too negative? 713-572-4610.
Well, those three people, plus two others that I'm thinking of, are going to respond immediately and say yes.
Are they
awake
at 6
in the morning? Is it the 415 guy that thinks that we're the most negative show that ever existed?
I'm not sure. I'll check that.
There's this, though, too. So I think maybe we need to reclaim a little bit of the positivity that we had when we were in the midday, some of which you have to trick yourself that it's 10 a.m. at 6 a.m.
I will do that.
This is, and I ran across this. This is from one of the stalwarts of my youth, Mr. Rogers, auto-tuning a little rap for you to get you going.
All right, here we
Edward,
go.
Let's play this Mr. Rogers.
Neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood.
He's very edgy, this Mr. Rogers.
I'd like to show you something.
Yeah. Creepy a little bit.
You know what this is? Yeah. Or maybe if I press this button.
It's a cassette tape.
This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here. And there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things?
Mm-hmm.
Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things?
It's actually a little bit darker than I thought.
Things you'd like to have. Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark?
What?
And wonder what they were. Did you ever pretend about things like that before? Did you ever pretend about things like that? Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
Mr. Rogers.
This is actually a little bit disturbing. I thought I was going to get something more positive than this. It's 6:13 in the morning for Mr. Rogers. All right, let's fade that out.
I feel like the LeBron song is cooler. I associate Mr. Rogers and also, like, Ricky Lake and those other shows with me staying home sick from school, elementary school. That's my mental association.
Wasn't that always a little bit of a letdown? Like, you thought, like, yeah, I'm gonna have the life. I'm gonna sit at home sick in bed all day, but then it ends up being daytime television.
Then it's daytime television, and you're dealing with people who are basically they're dealing with custody battles and arguing with each other.
I don't understand what happened to these two people, Phil Donahue and Sally Jesse Raphael.
That's a great question. Yes, I don't
feel
know.
Like, because Sally Jesse Raphael was younger than Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
And she used to annoy me. I used to be like 12-year-old, like, future Republican Seth Payne. Was like, well, this lady's just out of line.
Yeah.
There was something about Sally Jesse Raphael that bothered me.
I don't know what she's doing right now. I'm genuinely unsure. All right, 713-572-4610. So Gallant is going to join us on Tuesday morning at 6. We look forward to that. I think the Astros are in the best spot they have been all season at this moment.
Edward's on the phone right now. I think he got a call from management.
No.
Great. I thought I could do
it
at 6 a.m.
He's on the other line.
All right.
He's
okay.
on the other line.
Really?
Yeah, he's on the call line.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, no, Edward is.
Edward is,
okay.
Yes. And he's talking to somebody who we know who is who's a loyal caller to the show.
Oh, good.
And we will set you up for game number 5 tonight. The two big things that you need to know from a Rockets-Warriors standpoint leading into a huge game 5 at Toyota Center. Mike and Seth, Mad Radio on a Thursday.